Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about where do you go when you need some help, some comfort, some compassion, and you just feel like you need to hear something that will ease your grief, soothe your soul, or just hold you in just that moment of time when you just feel like I've lost to someone. Something in my life is just not working out. I don't know what to do. Everything is falling apart. And how can I just exist for the next moment? Today, my guest is Alan Klein. His book is Embracing Life After Loss, A Gentle Guide for Growing Through Grief. Alan has had a loss in his life, and many times he's written about it and spoken about it through many of his books. And he also shares on every page of this book his own process. Alan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
So great to be here once again. And I love what you just said about this book, because when I was writing it, I thought, I want this book to be like holding somebody's hand and guiding them through a process. And so when you said about something about holding your hand, mm-hmm. I thought, God, Dr. Jeanette really got it.
Yeah. You know, don't you think, Alan, it's a lonely time when you feel someone or something was actually part of your heart? And when it's no longer there, it's sort of, you feel like you're gone too, yes?
Yes, and I will say, and no, because yes, you feel that way, right. But at least from my own experience and hearing from other people who have lost loved ones, that person, in their essence, is still around. Their essence is still with you. And we can talk about some of that as we go through the book, if you'd like. But I have some specific stories where, you know, I lost my wife when she was 34 of a rare liver disease. And yet I feel her essence is still with me. And that was many years ago. Still guiding me. Still approving or not approving of the stuff I do, and is still, you know, her body's gone, but her spirit is still here.
Yes, and I think the idea that sometimes we say we have to feel like we are engaging with the other person. Who will I have dinner with? Who will laugh at my jokes? Who will comfort me when I no longer am able to reach out to the person who was always my best friend? Don't you think that initially that time of grief is exactly what everyone goes through, but it's also too a time of allowing yourself to have that process? So many times people are saying, you know, they're looking on the internet, how long is grief? 6 months, 2 days, 4 weeks? And they cut themselves short. And they really don't engage in that feeling of loss in the first place, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. And what I have found is, you know, you think the grief is gone, and then something happens in your life, and it pops up. I'll give you one example, which, and sometimes it's very strange, and you don't understand why, but I was walking to work one day, and this was, I'd say, 6 months, a year after my wife died. And I passed it was fairly new at the time, a big, dark, gray, black building, the Bank of America building, one of the tallest at that time. And I suddenly burst out crying. And I thought, what is going on? I thought I had put, you know, my grief, at least most of it, behind me. And I had no idea why it happened at that moment. We had no connection to Bank of America or the Bank of America building or that street. Mm-hmm. And yet there I was, sobbing in the street. So grief is kind of a funny thing. It just, and tears, they just pop up sometimes when you least expect it. And I think it's healthy. It helps you get through the loss. But I also think, as we can talk about the book, that laughter is also very healthy.
And also, too, I think the idea that you remember that you are still here and that you are still living is really something that people say, but I don't want to. Don't you think they hold that back and they say, I cannot live because?
Yes, and I think that it's kind of, I think that's the sadder part of grief, is that when two lives are lost, in essence, the person who died and the person who is still living but really is not living fully. And I remember when I was a hospice volunteer after my wife died, working with a young woman, probably in her 30s, very attached to her mother, and her mother passed away. And I worked with this woman almost 2 years, I think, and she could not let go of her grief. So for 2 years, we finally did some intervention and she was able to move on, but for 2 years, she had basically cut her own life off.
Right.
And so I think that's the sad part when people don't like, you know, you're still going to cry, as they said, you're still going to be upset perhaps about losing that person. But at some point you've got to get on with your own life. Otherwise your life is gone too.
Right. And in your book, Alan, again, Embracing Life After Loss, you even have a page that says about inner strength. You have a quote on the top, and then you share about your own inner strength. Don't you think that that's really what you're talking about?
Yes. And, you know, we all, you ask people, you know, what would you do if this happened to you, some major loss or something? Oh, I'd never get through it. You know, people say, how? Why is this happening to me? How could this be happening to me? And yet we all have this inner strength. You know, some people call it the hero's journey. We're presented with this major challenge, and before it happened, we think, I could never get through this. And then somehow we all have our inner strength, and we all somehow rise above it, and we all somehow get through it. Now, some take longer than others to do it. I chose to get through it perhaps by helping other people, by writing books about loss and about grief and about humor and about positivity and how that could help us. So everyone has a different way of tapping into their inner strength. But I certainly believe we all have it. And it sometimes really trying times can find that strength that we never thought we had.
And it's also, too, you share in your book about supporting with other friends and, you know, reaching out. I think that sometimes when we say we develop our own inner strength, but sometimes we need to be able to, it's almost like flowers. They can't water themselves. They need someone to pour water on them.
I love that. You know what I mean? Right.
And I think it's about understanding that the outside world can also nourish you and support you. I mean, it's really about you opening up that, turning that doorknob and going out the door, or picking up the phone and being able to say, I'm opening myself up to others' love and support around me. Don't you think that's really the vital piece also?
That is, but a lot of people, you know, hide their feelings. But you know, I think at times like that, we always need support, even, you know, not even those trying times, but we need support from each other. And most people have that in their life, friends they can call up. The internet today, it's so easy to communicate by email, even if you're 1,000 miles away. So yes, support's important. And I think you said another important thing is that I talk about in the book about getting out of the house. Because I think after a loss, people like curl up and want to hide. And maybe the worst thing they can do is do that because they're looking around with the living situation and maybe they see photos of their loved one or they have lived with the loved one and see reminders of the loved one. And they got to get out of the house because that thing in the house is just a downward spiral. And getting out, you never know what you're going to see. You just talk about flowers, spring flower blooming, child laughing. A rainbow in a puddle, you know, an oil slick in a puddle that creates an incredible rainbow. I mean, there's just, even if you just get out of the house and walk around the block, that's a real beginning for somebody who is going through grief, I think. So, yeah, getting out of the house, finding support in your life, all of that is really helpful.
Don't you think also, too, Alan, when you say about finding meaning in your loss, it's also finding meaning in your own life. Sometimes when, after you suffer a loss, you say, oh, I never did that before, but I guess I'll try it. Or, oh, they never liked that in the house before, but maybe I will shift it around. So I think sometimes you start to begin on an exploration for yourself that maybe just starts to show up, don't you think? I think sometimes, you know, things just show up. They'll say, I never liked fish. All of a sudden, I'm going to a fish thing every Friday. You know what I mean? Or they might say, you know, well, I really hated that couch, and I can't wait till it goes, and I'm going to put chairs in next time. So it's really about that.
Oh, yeah, and I know from, you know, living with someone for a long time, you kind of adopt to that person, and maybe you don't do stuff because that person didn't like it.
Right. That's what I'm saying,
I think, you know, like one of the things I did, I grew up, raised in New York City. I never had a car. I never needed a car. I never learned to drive. My wife and I moved to San Francisco. We got a car. She was the driver. Then she died. And every day I would look in the driveway and there was this car that I could not drive. And I thought to myself, I basically have three options. I could sell the car, I could let it sit there and rust, or I could learn to drive. And so I pushed myself and learned to drive. And people say, Alan, how did you learn to drive on those hills in San Francisco? You know, I didn't know otherwise. I learned to drive. And I was so glad looking back that I did, because then I began to speak all over the country about therapeutic humor. And I need a car. I'd fly to an airport and I'd have to drive to the venue. And I needed to know how to drive. I didn't know that when I was taking driving lessons. I did it because the car was sitting there and I pushed myself to learn. So, yeah, I think we start to maybe, I don't know, grow ourselves from loss and maybe do things that we hadn't done before. You know, we talked about getting out of the house. I just want to go back to that for a moment. After my wife died, my daughter was 10 years old at the time, and we had been going through my wife's terminal illness for 3 years and then the loss. And I just instinctively, I don't know where this came from, I said to my daughter, you know, we've had a hard time for the last 3 years. We need an adventure. And I booked an inside passage cruise on the ferry system in Alaska. And it was one of the highlights of our life. And it bonded us. We still talk about seeing puffins and sleeping overnight on the glacier and taking seaplane rides and seeing the bears on the hill And, you know, it just like was one of the best things that we could do instead of moping around. You know, sure, we lost a loved one, but somehow helped us revive us and showed us how full and rich the world was and helped us talk about my daughter's mother, my wife, and talk about her and openly, not hide it. And it was just such a shot in the arm that was so helpful getting out of the house.
And it really seems that things kind of show up or present, and you don't know why. And just as you said about the car or the trip, they show up at a later time, and all of a sudden you say, wow. When you look back in reflection, you say, how wonderfully that played out. In other words, you know, learning how to drive on the hills, well, you didn't know any better. You know,
right.
It was what it was, it showed up. But the same thing with the trip. It just showed up. And I think if we look at those wonderful gifts and just pass through them and then we can reflect on them, that's when we see the true glory, right?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, looking back, I realized, why did I do that? I'm going to tell you another story. Like, why did I do that? And what I realized is that I was listening to my gut. I was listening to some inner, maybe that's the inner strength I was listening to, of what to do next. Because this was uncharted territory. I had no idea what to do when someone so close to you dies. But I remember my wife was in the hospital, and doctors said not much we can do. And I said, can we bring her home? And he said, yes. And we brought her home. And I had been staying with her in the hospital about 2 weeks or 2 weeks, and there was no food in the house. So my mother-in-law was here with her, and I said, I'm going to go get some food. And I came back, and my mother was making her bed, and my wife rolled out of bed and died on the floor. Or died in bed and then rolled, you know, on the floor. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, I had just come home from shopping and was kind of panicky a bit and, you know, very upset. And my daughter, it was 3 o'clock. My daughter just came home from school. So racing through my head is like, what do I tell her? What do I do? And I just said to her, Mommy just died. Let's sit by her. She's on the floor. Let's sit by her and hold her hand and be with her. And my mother-in-law is saying, no, I'm going to call the funeral director. I got to call the funeral home. And I said, no, you don't. Do not do anything. Just go and, you know, go in the other room. And my daughter and I sat there, I'd say a good half hour. And, you know, looking back, that was one of the not best, but that was so wise, because imagine if my daughter came home and the body had been whisked away, or my daughter saw that immediately as she was coming home from school. Sitting with the body was just so comforting and you know, and not like whisking the body away. Just, and isn't that the way it used to happen years and years ago? The whole family would gather around and they would even wash the body and wrap the body. But Dr. Jeanette, I didn't know anything about this. It was just this intuitive thing to not take the body away, to share that moment with my daughter, and to just sit there calmly with her. So who knows where this comes from? But for me, looking back, it was some inner guidance.
Right. And that's also too, when you feel in the moment that you're completing the circle, that you're remembering it and having that last feeling that you can have with another. And that's so vitally important, because sometimes people say they got whisked away, they went too early. I didn't notice it, let's say a car wreck or something like that. And there's so many other different ways, and people say, I missed that, and that is where my grief comes from. I didn't have that moment. So pretty much, I guess the idea is how do you move past that, but then also to forgive however that person has left this world. They didn't plan on how they were going to leave. They didn't check off a checklist on the way that they were going to go. No matter how you plan for death and no matter how much money you pay other people to schedule it for you, it's going to come when it comes in its own manner. So I think to forgive the process of death, however it shows up, is absolutely the first step.
Well, I think you hit on the magic word, forgive, because so much happens around when somebody is terminally ill or dying that we look back and go, you know, why didn't I do this? Or how come, you know, you didn't help me? Or, you know, there's so much. So in
right.
the book, I have several different small sections on forgiveness, to forgive yourself that you could not save the person, forgive yourself for maybe things you said to that person or didn't do for that person, forgive other people that maybe didn't help you through the process or said, you know, people are uncomfortable around someone who's dying, so sometimes they say things that perhaps they shouldn't have said, and so forgive those people. Forgive the medical world for not being able to save the person. You know, they're human too,
right.
and only have right. so much, you know, medicines or operations or whatever to save someone. And, you know, just forgive the whole process, because a lot of it may have been out of your hands too. So forgiveness, you know, it's, We don't move on unless, you know, and that's one of the sections is letting go. And in fact, maybe we should tell your listeners, the book is in five parts, which is losing, acknowledging that you've lost something or someone, learning from that, because I think loss is a great teacher. And we were just talking about letting go and forgiving. When you forgive, you start to let go of those anger upsets, and then starting to live again fully, and then finally getting to laughing again, enjoying life again.
Yeah, I think it's at times when we say, I will never get to the next step, I think that if you have a comment like that, you're not ready sometimes for the next step. In other words, just be where you are, and when the other step is ready, you will slowly know it. Don't you think sometimes people get rushed through all of these stages and they say, oh, but you want me to go see a funny movie and I'm supposed to sit there and laugh about it? I don't think so. Or you want me to forgive? I'm mad at God. I'm mad at the person that passed away. I'm mad at myself. I'm mad. And that's just where I need to be right now. So to say, oh, you should be forgiving, is sort of like saying, well, if I haven't had the madness or the anger yet, you want me to forgive? It's sort of like you have to feel it in your own time and do your own steps, whatever they are, yes?
Oh, yeah. You've got to, yeah, because everyone's grief is different and expressed differently. And so when I, you know, the reason I wrote this book is because after my wife died, I was reading all these grief books thinking this would help me get through it.
Right.
And what I found, unfortunately, was a lot of them were like, you know, 300 pages, which I was not up to reading at that time. And they all told me how bad I might feel, that I might get depressed, I might not eat, I might not sleep.
Right.
And I thought, do I really need to hear all that? You know, I'm already experiencing some of it. I'm already down. I need something that lifts me up. And
right.
basically, I didn't find any grief books that actually did that. And so I just started collecting my thoughts on that and wrote this book, which we said I was hoping would hold people's hands. And very gently, with a quote, with something that I experienced, would help them get through their loss. And also, at the same time, lift them up and give them some spiritual comfort, perhaps, as they move at their, as you say, through their own pace, through their grief, but in a very gentle, it's why the subtitle says a gentle guide. I'm not hitting people over the head with what they're going to go through, because everyone's different, but I do want to hold their hand. I did want to encourage them, inspire them, and maybe even tell them that, you know, it may take time, but someday you will get to the point where you can fully live again.
Right. Well, you know, Alan, also, too, I think your book, again, Embracing Life After Loss, is truly about, as you say, sharing your story and allowing it in ease and in enlightenment. It's not chapter after chapter that you read. You can open up the book to any page, and that might be the short story for your time in that day. And really what you have done is said you've also, too, read other people's books, but really in completing the circle, you have written your own. So if you're going through loss, you can read Alan's book, but also, too, it's about writing your own. After you read a page, take out your own book, your own piece of paper, and write down your own story on your own progression. And that's really what it's all about. We're not telling you how to do it. We're just sharing with you some of the passages of how we have gone through it, how things that may show up, things that are out there for you, and when you're ready, you'll find them and create your own story. And that's really what you're talking about, yes?
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because the end of the book has pages for journaling. So, I don't know, there's maybe a dozen pages where I ask a question, and then the reader can fill in their own response. So this does become like their own book.
Right.
So, like a couple of questions. I'm just going to look here. You know, if we're looking for something lighter, like what ways can you celebrate the life of the person you lost? So right. People would write down, you know, whatever they do to celebrate that person's life, or how will you keep the memory of the person you lost alive? So they can answer that. Or what helped you deal with previous losses? Because sometimes one loss will, you know, brings up a lot of previous losses. So there's all these questions that people can then put in their own personal experience and kind of make the book their own.
Yes, and that's absolutely what we're talking about, is a guide is someone who will stand alongside you and be there for you. A guide is not someone who says, do it this way, and when you're done with A, then I'll give you B, and then we'll check off the list. Really, truly guide grief, loss, and love, and unconditional love is really a very individualistic path that we walk in this life. It's truly about where our heart and our soul goes, and that's really what you share in your book, yes?
Oh, yes, thank you. And, you know, as I said, the book is in five steps or five mini chapters: losing, learning, letting go, living, and laughing. But I think one of the questions people ask me a lot is, how can you learn from a loss? You know, it's terrible.
Right.
It's awful. How? What do you mean it's one of our greatest teachers? And I have learned just so much. We were talking before we recorded this about I'm now doing talks about divine order and how when something not so great happens to us, how looking back we go, hey, that, you know, that meant that that was there for a reason, and this is what I got from it. So it was interesting, the talk I did a couple of weeks ago about that, I asked the audience, how many of you have experienced some dark, really trying time in your life? And I would say nearly everyone in the audience raised their hand. And then I would say, in hindsight, how many of you look back at that experience and either learn something or gain something, or you know, something good came out of it, or something positive came out of it? And again, nearly everyone in the room raised their hand. So when we're in that moment, you know, we don't see the bigger picture, but often, you know, I didn't want to say there are reasons it happens, but it's a opportunity, I guess, for us to grow and be bigger and maybe even be more loving, or be
right.
more to surround the people around us or our world or whatever it is. There's something that we can at least grow from if we choose to do that.
I think almost every person that we engage with in the world in our lifetime is really an opportunity to learn something more about ourselves and to be able to say, how am I helping or supporting myself or that other person, or what am I contributing to society, or how am I engaging with others to care for them as they care for me? And it's all about the circles, as we talked about before. And in closing, it's really about, we say, how are we progressing through our life? And these are things that happen in our lifetime. You don't escape it. It is part of it. But it's really about how can we continue to have that circle going, I think is really so important, so that we too are able to go and give out to the next person and share with the next person. Don't you think it's really about how are we living our lives through the process of grief instead of saying, I have grief and it stops me dead in my tracks?
Right. Well, I think one of the things I point out to people, I think I pointed out in the book, is can you imagine if there was no death, that the world would be so overpopulated? I mean, we have people starving all over the planet now. Imagine if there was no death. The housing, there'd be no housing, you know, clothing, feeding. It would be impossible. And so if you look at the bigger picture, it's kind of funny to say this, but like death is like nature's vacuum cleaner, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of keeps things, in a sense, in a balance. It's strange to look at it that way, but it is the truth. And the other thing about learning, we're talking about the second part of the book, learning, is I think once we lose something, it's a wake-up call. Whether we lose our wallet and go, you know, I have to be more careful, or the car keys, or lose a loved one, it really, it's a wake up. It's a knock on our head to say, hey, wake up, pay attention. And I think what death does, it allows us to, or we can learn to appreciate life more.
Right.
And there's, I don't know if you know the Thornton Wilder play, Our Town, but it's about this teenager who dies and goes to heaven and looks down at her beautiful home, a very simple home in the Midwest, and asks God if she can go back for just one more day. And he allows her to go back for one more day. And what she is amazed at, and of all the things she missed every day, like her mom brushing her hair, the smell of bacon on the stove, you know, a hug from her father, just these little things that she missed. And when you see that, I think you realize how much we miss every day, and that not having it could be a wake-up call to pay attention, because life is short, and that's all those beautiful little things are going to be gone probably before we know it. So I think death is a great wake-up call to appreciate and enjoy life more.
Absolutely. And I think your next chapter on that book should be reflection, just as you just shared with us. Because when you look back in reflection, you understand that everything is still a part of our life. It hasn't left. It just has changed or shifted or just, you know, it's another season, as we would say. And you're just in these other seasons of your life, and things will constantly evolve. And, you know, I think that's so important, Alan, to close out. We say when it's really about embracing life after a loss, because when you say that you can continue for the next season, that's really seeing that in the spring the flowers come up, and also in the summer the sun shines a lot. And it really is about engaging life, yes?
Oh, yes. Engaging life. So true. There's a wonderful quote I love about rejoicing in the life lived. We talked about celebrating a life before, from the Talmud, that I would like to share. And it says, when a child is born, all rejoice. When someone dies, all weep. but it makes just as much sense, if not more, to rejoice at the end of life as the beginning. For no one can tell what events await a newborn child, but when a mortal dies, he has successfully completed a journey. So we can look at life that way too, that, you know, even a short life, they've completed the journey.
Right.
And as a friend of mine once said or wrote about, you know, like symphonies, it's not how long they are. Even short ones can be really beautiful. So life is like that too.
Absolutely. I know this concept of everybody that they need to live till they are 100 is sort of like, I don't bring anything in my house that says anti-aging. It's sort of like, you know, whatever, you know, I don't need to anti-age anything. I'm quite fine. And I think the idea is that we honor each moment that we have, because there really is no time stamp on it. No matter how much we're running and saying we are healthy as anything, and the next day we're not, or the next day something else happens. So I think the idea is also true, is that you never know when your time is there, and also to enjoy it in every moment. Yes?
Oh, yes. I was just looking at step or chapter 4, which is about living, and about, I have a little section on simple pleasures. So this just, you know, your listeners right now, if you just look around and find three simple pleasures around you. So I'm in my office and I'm looking. There's a fabulous painting that I bought years ago. I used to have a house, second home in Sebastopol, which is wine country. So it's the grape vines, I guess, right before they're starting to bloom, and the rolling hills in the background that, you know, it's a picture of nature. It's a little bit abstract that it painted, it was their version of it. But I look at it and it just brings me the colors, the shapes, just brings me joy. So I invite you listeners to look around and find maybe three things right around them. Simple pleasures that are in their life. What are those?
Absolutely. Well, Alan, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Could you share with the listeners about all of your other works and all of your other books? You've been on here many times, and we just love you coming on and sharing, but I'd love for them to know about all your other works.
Oh, my goodness. This is my 27th book. So I don't think you want me to list all of them. We need another hour. But my first book, and the one that actually came out of my loss of my wife, because she had a great sense of humor, is The Healing Power of Humor. I have another book coming out shortly called Positive Thoughts for Troubling Times, which I think we're in somewhat troubling times at the moment, so hopefully that could help readers. I have other books. Like You Can't Ruin My Day is one of my favorites, because we let other people and other things ruin our day. And one of the things I'm really proud of is my TEDx talk, and it's about setting our intentions. And we didn't talk about setting our intentions today, but I think that is one of the most important things we can do. So when we get up in the morning, what kind of day do we want? And to set our intentions then. So people can go on YouTube, put in my name, Alan Klein, A-L-L-E-N-K-L-E-I-N, and they should come up with the TEDx talk on intentions. What else do you want to know about me?
And your books are all over Amazon, and all you need to do is just Google Alan Klein, and you will find everything about you, yes?
Yes, I just have to spell both names right, because they're various spellings. So it's A-L-L-E-N-K-L-E-I-N. And I do want to thank both my publishers. One is Viva Editions, has done 9 of my books. And my latest, newest publisher is that I love is Mango, like the fruit, Mango Publishing. and they just did this book, Embracing Life After Loss, and they're doing my next book too. So I love publishers.
Very exciting. Well, Callie, you'll have to come back home with your next book, so just let me know.
Will do.
Absolutely. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. We just love having you on.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. It's always such a joy to speak with you. It certainly makes my day. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, have such a great day, Alan. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye. If you'd like to find out more information about Alan Klein and his work, Embracing Life After Loss, A Gentle Guide for Growing Through Grief, please do click on the bottom of today's show page and you'll go directly to his website. And please Google his name. There is so much information. He has tons of absolutely wonderful books out there, and check them all out. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.